We've been talking about dreams and visions that God leads, gives you, that can lead you down a path of healing for your soul. In the first session, we talked about the three basic steps you need to take to get your soul healed. Three basic steps. First is that you must repent for the sin that caused the wound, or forgive someone who sinned against you and put a wound on your soul. Number two is then, once the sin is taken care of, you must apply the glory light to that wound. It is so raining, oh man, to get it healed. And then number three, once the wound is healed, then you can command the demonic to come off, and they'll come off easily because the legal right is gone. Amen? Well, guess what? Your dreams and visions can lead you through each and every step of that process. Okay? Hallelujah. Number one. The first step of the process is the sin. We got to deal with that first. Because you know why? It's pleasing to God. We've got to deal with the sin. That's what Jesus went to the cross for. Amen? And because if the sin is not dealt with, it can actually block the light from getting to the wound, the second step. Okay, just let me give you a small example. We were ministering to a friend who had been deeply wounded by her stepfather. He had molested her right in front of her mother, and her mother allowed it. Double betrayal. That sin deeply wounded her soul. And then, as every wound does, it caused her to sin. She had been sinned against, but then that wound caused her to sin. She became bitter, angry, resentful against these people and against situations in her life. So as we were ministering to her, it was like we couldn't get the light to go on. It was like, light, come on, light, come on, more light, more light. And it was just like we were stuck. We were kind of like banging our head against the wall, and the light would not come on. And so I got still for a minute, and the Lord ministered to me. He says, your friend needs to forgive anew, and she needs to repent. So I began to explain it to her. I said, you know, the Lord says you need to forgive them again, and then you need to repent yourself. And when I said the repent part, she got fiercely offended. She said, what do you mean I have to repent? I didn't do anything. I was just a child. Ooh, that's really hard, huh? Because that's true. That is true. She was completely victimized. However, anytime someone sins against you and it makes a wound in your soul, that wound will then make you sin. Remember, Paul talked about it. It's a sin nature fixed and operating in your soul. So even though she had been sinned against, it had now caused her to be bitter and resentful, which is sin. And so as I explained this to her, the Lord was so good, he gave her a vision. He gave her a vision of a light bulb. But inside the light bulb, the filament was broken. What makes the light? The filament, right? You see, that's what sin does. That's what unforgiveness and unrepentance does. It breaks the filament in your light bulb, okay? And causes the light not to be able to come on, all right? Unrepentance and forgiveness can block the light from coming in. Now, God can use symbols in your dreams and visions to let you know if you have not properly dealt with the sin that's on the wound, okay? Just like he did for my friend there. He showed her the broken light bulb. Okay, let me just give you a fast example. Let's say you have a dream and someone is in the dream with you that has deeply wounded you. And you're standing there in the dream and you're looking at them, but you have sunglasses on. What could that possibly mean? Well, the sunglasses are what? What do sunglasses do? They block the light from getting in your eyes. What are your eyes? The windows to the soul. So God is using these sunglasses as a symbol of something, of sin, that is blocking the light from getting into your soul to get your soul healed. You see that? So what do? Well, when you see a symbol like that, any kind of symbol in your dream that's blocking you from going forward, that's blocking the light from coming in, you will know that you're dealing most likely with a sin. And you need to move into first, you need to back it up a little bit, and you need to move into first applying the blood to the situation to do repentance and forgiveness. Amen? Okay. Let me share with you some very biblical symbols you might get in your dreams that will show you when sin is present blocking the light. Okay, the first one is worms. Remember what Mark 9 says about the worms that are in hell, that they, quote, represent the wounds put on a man himself by his sin. I remember we were praying for a woman who was severely cutting herself. And when I found that out, I knew exactly who it was. It's the spirit of Legion. Because remember what Mark 5 says? That man would beat and bruise and cut himself. If you ever know a cutter, somebody's doing that to themselves, it's because they have the spirit of Legion on them. Now, why was the spirit of Legion able to be on that man to control him? Because he lived among the tombs. Okay, so as soon as I heard this woman was cutting herself, I knew it was Legion, but I knew the only way Legion would have the legal right to make her do that is because she had a soul wound. She had soul wounds inside her, wounds created by sin. So we went to begin to minister to her. And we just started praying, and we let the Holy Spirit lead. And as we did, she actually got a vision. She saw a vision of her own heart, which your heart can represent your soul, right? She saw her own heart, and it was black, and it was squirming with worms. And she looked at me and said, I wonder what that means. I knew exactly what it meant, because worms are the symbol that God can use in your dreams and visions to show you about sin. They symbolize sin that can possibly block the light from coming into your soul. So as soon as she told me the vision, I knew exactly what to do. I knew that first, that the sin that created the wound that caused Legion to be there had not been dealt with properly. So I began to lead her to through repentance and forgiveness. And so she did it. And she actually got another vision. She saw the blood of Jesus actually coming down and like frying those worms. She even heard them screaming. Ah! How cool is that? Then once the sin was dealt with that created the wound, then we could do step number two. We could start soaking the wound in the glory and the light, right? And we did, and it happened very quickly. She actually saw herself in a bathtub getting all cleaned up, and she stepped out, and she's wearing this white dress made of light. And so we knew that we got the healing of the wound, right? And then when the wound was healed, the next step was step number three, right? To command the demonic to come off. And let me tell you, Legion's a very sticky animal. He's a huge monster, but he's not when you get your wounds healed. Once his legal right is gone, then he's got to go, amen? Him and all his other 6,000 buddies that are with him. And when we commanded Legion to come off of her, it was so cool. I mean, he came off so quickly, so completely, and she went, ugh! And she said she felt the demon come off, rip off from the tip of her toes all the way to the top of her head. He had violated and overtaken every part of her body. Amen? Here's the point that I'm trying to make in the story. The vision told me what to do. Visions can lead you through these steps. Your dreams can lead you through the steps of getting your soul healed. It told me what to do. It said, oh, okay, we haven't dealt with the sin properly because there's worms there. Amen? So I knew the first thing we needed to do was step one. Apply the blood, forgive, and repent. Hallelujah. I remember one time I was trying to get healing for myself, and I couldn't get the light to come on. I'm like, what's going on, Lord? And all of a sudden, he showed me a vision of this sealed up aluminum can. And as soon as he showed it to me, he spoke to me down in my spirit, and I knew exactly what it was. He said, you got a big old can of worms in there. You better open it up with the blood, because it'll open it up and kill those worms. And I began to repent, and I began to forgive. I wasn't even sure what I was repenting for. But just by faith, I knew that there was a big old can of worms and they're attached to something. So I just began to take the first step of raw faith and began to repent. I say, for whatever sin those worms represent, I ask for forgiveness. And if you want to tell me later, Lord, go for it. But I just put your blood and I ask for forgiveness. And I forgive anyone that hurt me and I repent in the name of Jesus. And that can opened. The worms disappeared. I got the healing in the glory light. Hallelujah. Okay, so be watchful for worms. We talked about symbols last session, right? They're one of the dream symbols, a biblical dream symbol the Lord can give you to show you when there's sin present that might be blocking the light. Let me give you another very biblical symbol that God might use to show you when sin is blocking Jesus' glory light from coming in and healing a wound. That symbol is a curtain. As we were getting our souls healed and ministering to other people, I kept on seeing curtains and blinds and shades, and I kept on hearing the word curtain. And I was like, this guy has to mean something important because I'm hearing it a lot. First thing I did was I decided to find out what it was, and I started going to the three sources we talked about in the last session, right? And I went and I started looking up the word curtain. Well, do you know that one of the meanings in the dictionary of the word curtain is this: a hanging piece of fabric used to shut out light from a window. It's another sin. Aha. It's blocking the light from coming in. You see that? That curtain can represent the sin that's blocking the light from coming in. So what would you do when you see that curtain or a shade or a blind that's covering, that's pulled all the way down, covering the window of your soul? You would apply the blood to it. Oh, that curtain's blocking the light. There must be a sin in there. I'm going to apply the blood to it. I'm going to apply the blood. I'm going to repent and forgive. Now, let me tell you how completely and amazingly, awesomely biblical that symbol of a curtain is, and in connection with the healing of your soul. I put it in the word search in the Bible and looked it up. And oh my gosh, I got such a revelation. Do you remember what happened when Jesus shed his blood on the cross? The curtain in the temple, what's the temple? Your soul, was ripped from top to bottom and removed. Do you know what that curtain symbolized? It symbolized the separation between God and man. Only certain people could go in the most holies, amen? Right? It symbolized the separation between God and man. What is sin? It separates God and man. How do you get rid of sin? With the atoning blood of Jesus Christ. You repent and you forgive, right? So what happened when Jesus was on the cross and he died? His blood removed, it ripped that curtain, and it removed it and removed the sin that was separating God and man. And what happens when you rip open a curtain? It allows light in. So Jesus removed that curtain and it allowed light to come into the temple. It's the same thing for you. Hallelujah. When you see a curtain or drawn blinds or anything like that, you put the blood on it. You say, I put Jesus's cross in that curtain. I'm going to rip that curtain down from the midst of my temple so that light can flood into my temple and heal my wounded soul. Hallelujah. See how God uses the symbols and everything else to lead you on your trip. Let me tell you a little story. Right during the break, a good friend of ours, Shirley Bursley, came up and told me about a dream. She didn't know I was going to teach on this. And she said, what do you think this means? And she said, I was in like one of those jail boxes. In the jails, when you go in to visit, you step into the security box, and they shut the doors behind you and in front of you, and there's no getting out until somebody pushes the button. And she stepped in there, and she was trapped in this place in prison. And it suddenly turned into a hospital. And there were 7 bodies laying on the floor, right? All covered with sheets. And in between each body was a curtain. Curtain between each body. And she was standing there looking at all of them. And all of a sudden she looked down and she was wearing a hospital robe. And she realized the back of her robe was hanging open. So she went, whoop. Oops. Okay, so let's dissect it that far. As soon as she said the word curtain, I went, those 7 bodies on the floor are soul wounds, bodies, corpses. Where do corpses go? In a tomb. What's a tomb? A soul wound. Okay, I said those 7 bodies on the floor are soul wounds, and the curtain is up. So the blood has to be applied to remove that curtain so those soul wounds can get light. We see, this was so cool, and this is what God's been doing more and more of. He healed her completely through the dream. Because then the next thing that happened was, physician came in, and he said something that he was going to go take care of something. As soon as he saw you, he said, I'm going to go take care of this. And I really believe that was Jesus that came in to put the blood on those curtains. Amen. He came in, he said, I'm going to take care of this. And you know, we know it was her because she's wearing the gown. We know it's her soul wound. She's in the hospital gown and she was exposed. The butt hanging out, I'm sorry, Shirley. So we knew it was her soul wounds. So Jesus came in as this physician, and he must have applied the blood to those curtains, right? So then the next step in her dream is she says, all of a sudden, I was in this room in this contraption that looked just like a tanning bed. The light. Jesus came in, step one, put the blood on these curtains, remove the curtains. Then she went in, she's in the light booth, the tanning booth, getting light. Then he put glory and light on her. And when she woke up, she felt like she had gotten healed of 7 wounds. Hello, amen. And then she asked me one more question. Yeah, that's good. You can applaud for that. She says, I'm missing step 3, aren't I? And I said, yep. Ask Jesus if he already took care of it, or do you need to now command the demonic to come off? And she said, okay. So you see, the dream told her how much had been done and what she was missing. You get how the dream and vision can direct you and tell you where you're at in your progress report with getting a soul wound healed? Are you starting to get it more and more? Okay. All right. So a curtain. A curtain is a biblical symbol about how the light is being blocked. It's sin. It represents sin that's blocking out the light, and you have to deal with it. Another biblical symbol that you might get in your dreams is a fence. Okay, you know, God puts up a hedge of protection. So many times you might see a hedge around you in your dreams, and you'll just know, wow, God is protecting me. But other times, a fence can symbolically and biblically mean sin and represent sin. Why so? Because remember when the Israelites were at the foot of Mount Horeb and they were about to receive the Ten Commandments from God, and Moses went up and God said, okay, I want you to go down. I'm going to come down and give the Ten Commandments. I'm going to give the Ten Commandments to the people. I'm going to come down to visit, and I want you to go get the people ready, and I want you to build fences or barriers around the foot of my mountain. He says, lest the people break through to come up and see me and be destroyed. Why would the people have been destroyed? Because God had not issued the Ten Commandments yet. So technically, the sin was still all over his people. And if they had broken through that fence or that barrier and climbed up the mountain to see God, and in the presence of his holiness with their sin all over them, they would have been destroyed. So that fence can represent sin. Hallelujah. So what do you do when you see a fence or anything blocking you? You put the blood on it. You repent. You forgive. If you see anything in your dreams, let's say you anything that's blocking the light or preventing you to go further, anything blocking you can represent the sin. I mean, if you're walking down a dead-end street, that could mean you need to repent and forgive before you can continue. If you're walking through a house and there's a door in front of you that's closed, well, what's inside that room that's in your temple of your soul? Probably a soul wound hiding in there. You need to get in that door. If that door is shut, then that probably is something blocking you from getting in that room to put light on that soul wound that's hiding in that room. So you need to apply the blood to it. If the door has a lock on it, that means that that's probably representing sin. You need to apply the blood. If the door is, you know, made out of brick and it's completely sealed, whoa, you got to really spend some time repenting and putting the blood to break down that barrier that's blocking you from getting into that room to get that soul wound healed. Is everybody staying with me? I'm talking about dream imagery here. Symbols that God uses in dreams to tell you where you're at in your soul. Okay?